Yes, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That would mean it's Tuesday, March 2nd. It's time for Tom and Shane. Tommy Galoff, your Saturday morning mayor at AM 1450 KMMS in Bozeman. My longtime co-host, half man, half amazing. He's in Vancouver, British Columbia. Shane and Tom, and welcome, man. How you doing this morning? What a beautiful...
Hey, it was a great weekend. Lots of interesting things happened. Trump speech yesterday, the economy.
We don't care about that. We don't care about Trump's speech.
Powell's comments about the Fed and, of course, your Treasury Secretary's comments about the market. But, yeah, it's always something to talk about. We can't shy away. But today's topic is truly important.
And, it is.
A great addition to our collection of stories and talks about starting a small business of your own.
Yeah. Well, today we want to talk about today six ways. Are you there? You're breaking up. If you're talking, you're breaking up.
I'm no, not at all. I'm 100% across the board. Sounds good. I can see my picture.
Okay. Today's topic, we want to talk about six ways to boost a business success in 2021. And however, before we get to that, we've got to do a couple disclaimers here because, well, we want you to know some stuff. First of all, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll take on a business topic to help your small home-based or startup business succeed in today's world. And for more business tips and tricks not on here, visit our website, tomandshane.com, because there are tips and articles over there about all kinds of business management, advertising, marketing, etc. And, of course, we're on radio, too. Our business political show on radio is on Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You can click listen now at kmmsam.com. And you don't have to leave any information. You don't have to sign up. Don't have to leave any kind of information or emails or anything at all. All you have to do is just listen. You can call us. You can text us. Whatever. And, of course, you can watch or listen to our past shows at kmmsam.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And also, please share that with your friends as well. And, of course, we can't forget... we are also on YouTube every Tuesday and Thursday. So subscribe. You'll never miss another podcast. Hit that little notification bell and click all, and you'll be notified whenever we do it. Also, like us and leave a comment, because Facebook and YouTube both like that stuff. You know, the more you like us, the more you comment, the we grow our channel that way, and we're exposed to more people. So by all means, do that. We're also on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, I don't know where you can do it any cheaper and benefit. Just $3 a month. We'll put your website up. We'll put your name up. We'll put your business name up. Whatever you want, or nothing. If you don't want anything, if you just want to support us and not put anything up, we're happy to do that as well. But the link to that, if you want to support the show, will be in the... in the description below. So let's get right into six ways to business success in 2021. I'm ready to go, Shane, ready to go. So get that off of there. Well, let's go back here. Let's start off, shall we? Let's go to number one, give your business a physical checkup. Shane, this year has been like no other year, the past year, I should say, 2020. With the pandemic and everything, a lot of businesses weren't open. You really don't have a benchmark to go by. In normal years, you would look back at your previous year and look at what you did and then look at ways to improve. But in this case, giving your business a physical checkup is a little tough because of the pandemic.
Well, Americans are resilient. And while the pandemic has been so damaging to economies within states, you know, your overall economy has done exceedingly well and grown. you'll find, obviously, that the unemployment rate is much lower than expected, although there's still 10 million people seeking jobs. But with regards to the individual, with regards to your house and what you're trying to accomplish, it's always interesting in the course of the type of business you have, whether it's something that you do inside or outside. Most of the people we're talking about are doing this course at home. And a physical checkup is like maintenance. You know, you hire someone, a gardener, to maintain your garden. You maintain your house. You keep it clean, your kitchen, your bathroom. So you need to do the same thing with your business. And Tom's absolutely right. You need to look at this as a maintenance checkup. Check your business plan, your sales expectations that we put together, your financial plan, and your marketing plan. You always have to update it every year based on the numbers of what you've done that year. And it's not just something you may have to do once a year or twice a year. It's actually just something you should, you know, check monthly, because you set up these plans, you know, that we spoke about at the beginning of our talks. And you want to see how you're following through with that. And you have to adapt, and you have to be incisive about making decisions, because good decisions result in good consequences. So always be looking over your shoulder, because you've got to keep moving forward, but you got to be aware of what's happened behind you.
Yeah, that's for sure. One bright spot, I guess, Shane, despite the local pandemic, or the global pandemic, I guess, the Census Bureau says that new business applications in January of this year increase 73%, 84% in the South. We've got 492,133 new business applications. So you're exactly right about Americans being resilient, that even the pandemic won't keep people from realizing their dream. And if their dream is starting their own business or owning their own business, they're going to go for it.
That's right. And a lot of this, of course, has to do with the work at home resolve of the 21st century. It's COVID that brought this to pass, and it did it instantly. So the benefit to you as an individual is now negotiating with your company for a consulting agreement. Having a consulting agreement allows you to set up your own business, have your own tax issues and your own write-offs directly. And since you work at home, you can write off the space that you work in at home as an expense. Mm-hmm. So it's given people an opportunity to look at what may have been a job that you sat in a cubicle in an office working for the man, to where you're now at home and working on your own. That's a huge benefit, especially in the 21st century, because the world of the internet gives you access to so much everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Austin's with us. He says, thanks, guys, for this particular topic. We're happy to be here for you. And we appreciate your support of the channel. Thank you very much. And well, the other thing, you know, we were talking about just briefly, I don't want to dwell on it all morning long, but it's going to be harder for an existing business to do that physical checkup. And, you know, what I'm getting at, I guess, is that I don't know how much weight I would put into last year as a, you know, as a benchmark. You might want to look at what you did the year before the pandemic, and try to get back to that level of customers and sales and whatever. If your sales were down because of the pandemic, you know, you may have lost key employees because you couldn't pay them. So you may not be able to get that employee back. Maybe that employee went somewhere else or moved, or, you know, whatever. So you're going to have to start retraining employees, and there's all sorts of things that the pandemic caused that are really going to give your business a tough time getting back, you know, getting back in sync. So
that's right. And the reason that we started this, you know, Tom and Shane show was because on our weekly Saturday show. And then the year we spent 3 hours a day on the radio prior to COVID. We saw this coming because of what was happening with Amazon and the big block and mortar stores. We basically tried to sound the alarm to a lot of people how things would change within the next 5 years, mm-hmm. talking about 2017, 18, and even 19. So we had a pretty good prescription as far as where things were going. And now what we're trying to do is lift you up, because that's how you move forward and adapt. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things for you to be able to learn and not have to go to school to do, because we'll provide it all here for you. And so far, mm-hmm. in the shows that we've done and will continue to do, we'll keep saving you the cost of mistakes. We'll save you the mm-hmm. cost of hard decision-making. We'll save you the cost of editing or going to school for this. And just simply spending the time in an evening. These shows aren't long. They tend to be somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour. So, you know, you can binge watch our shows, over two or three days, or over an evening of 2 or 3 hours an evening for a week, and get a full grasp of what you have to do to begin this process. It's not difficult. You know, you've been led to believe it is, but it's not. This is how everybody gets that big equity opportunity for retirement.
That's sure. That's for sure. Yeah, we're, you can think of us, you could be making your own road, or we can build the road for you, and you can follow along that road, and it's going to be a lot easier for you. So that's why we're here. The next six things we want to talk about is paying more attention to competitors. If you're a small business and you haven't already done this, you need to start a swipe file. And what a swipe file is it's a file wherever your competitors are, you need to write down or cut out their ads or whatever. What did they do in January? What did they do in February? What did they do in March, et cetera, et cetera. You need to know so that when you look back the next year at they advertised something in March that took a lot of business away from me. So what was that? What did they advertise back then that caused a lot of people to migrate to them? Or did we advertise something that caused an increase in our business against whatever the competitors were advertising? So it doesn't mean that you have to, dwell on, I would rather be proactive than reactive. I don't like to react to what the competition is doing. I'd rather have them reacting to what I'm doing. And that's what we're kind of looking for here. But we want to pay attention to what competitors are doing. Are they hiring? Are they expanding? What's going on with them?
That's right. And of course, this is in reference to local businesses, and this is in reference to a brick and mortar store you may have, or a service you provide from the back of your pickup. So, if you're in the trades, obviously, you want to negotiate or with general contractors. So you're always keeping an eye on what's being built or the plans for new buildings. And you can go on site to your local community to find out permits that have been issued for work to be done or buildings to be made or repaired. And that gives you a heads up of where to look for more work in the future. And, a general contractor isn't necessarily your competitor in the sense that you're not competing directly with them, but the people he hires are your competitors. So you always want to be ahead of the game and be prepared when you call that contractor that you know what your call is about and what you know he's doing. Another example is in a brick and mortar store on Main Street, like Tom said. You always want to walk around to different shops and stores and find out their pricing and their products. And if they're paying attention, they'll have come to your store to see what you're selling, and they may have got the idea of, well, maybe I should have that in my store. So there's an endless cause to the effect of competitors on your business. Most of it's good. Very little of it's bad, unless you're in a situation where you're competing directly with someone literally down the street.
Yeah, it's like a rising tide lifts all boats. If a lot of people are buying tires, then you're going to get some of that business if you're a tire store, obviously. So, yeah.
In the industry, we call this a captive audience. Restaurants and hotels have a captive audience. Mm-hmm. And the people staying in the hotel because, you know, they have room service and or, you know, there's a place to have lunch or a bar or a restaurant right downstairs. They don't have to leave the building. And if you've ever been to major entertainment centers like the Bahamas or Las Vegas, you know, the Atlantis, and you go to these mega resorts along Mexico, you know, everything, when they say all included, it is. So a captive audience is what you want to create. Mm-hmm. And you want to take advantage as best you can. And as we've gone over a large number of ideas that you can utilize to, you know, pay attention to your competitors, you want to captivate that audience that's out there looking for something you have in your store or on your site.
There you are. All right. Next, we want to talk about employees. I touched on it just a little bit earlier at the beginning of the show that you may have lost key employees. You may need to rehire some employees and things like that. And, of course, one of the things that we've talked about in our past podcasts is the importance of making sure that you understand why an employee is working at your business. He or she is not there working for you. He or she is there working for themselves. They have goals of, you know, buying a house, starting a family, buying a car, whatever. They're working with you, but not for you. They're working for themselves. And that's important that you need to understand why they're there. As I mentioned before, I sat down with every employee, find out what their goals are, put those goals up publicly in the break room with their permission, of course. You know, whatever they're trying to do, whatever their goal in working there is, put that up so that all the employees see that that everyone there is working toward a goal, and the success of the business will achieve that goal for them. And in the same time, your goals as a business owner will be realized.
That's right. You know, there's two aspects of this. Human resource, we've all heard about it in the larger brick and mortar stores or corporations where they have entire departments now because of all the requirements for responsibilities they have to train their employees in about treating other employees and so forth. But when you're a small business, the importance of this is that, you know, people that work for you, it's interesting, they're working to live. And our big motto here is that the great idea of the 21st century is learn how to live to work, to enjoy your own success working for yourself. So it's important to have people that work to live at your behest. It's important that you take an interest, obviously, in their needs, their personal and private needs, as well as their professional needs. It always helps. There's a lot of cost in replacing employees with paperwork and time and just looking for someone. And that was one of the reasons that this week that Costco announced, you know, they're going to $20 an hour, I believe they said, wasn't it? And so, 15, you know, the 15. Reason they're doing 15. Yeah. And the reason they're doing that is because the cost and paperwork of just replacing someone rather than keeping them employed where they are is not a very effective way of maintaining the employees you need. So large or small, you always have to have an interest in your employees.
Well, that's very true. And the big thing I always tell employers when I counsel them, don't think people work for you. They work with you. And always use that term when you're talking with employees. It's great working with you. It's great having you on our team. And, you know, it's really important that you know, if you have an employee that hates to come to work because they hate their job because of the conditions you've provided for them, then you're going to have a high turnover, and that's not going to be good for your business or for your industry. So you need to make sure that, you know, it's a group effort. It's not just you and them, it's all of you. So keep that, you know, keep that in mind. So
that's right. And when an employee does decide to leave, it's important that you try to learn the cause of that decision. I mean, if it's something to better their life, then you wish them the best and send them on their way. If it has something to do with the business or the way you operate it, as Tom mentioned, you have to listen. People will tell you who they are. People will tell you truth. They really want to do that. And so take it as constructive criticism, learn from it, and move forward and adjust and change and try to improve your business for your employees as well as your customers.
Absolutely right. There's a great tool called the 60-Day Employee Survey, and I'll put a link to that survey in the description below when we put the show up. But it does things like it gives the employee an opportunity to tell you as the business owner what they like or they don't like about the job. It's got questions like, what are the three things you like? What are the three things you don't like? Would you like to be cross-trained so that if someone is sick or absent, you can fill in for them on that particular job? And it makes you more valuable. And also, it's a way for your employees to give non-threatening feedback. They may see something that they wonder, why do you do it that way? And this gives them the opportunity to do that. It's a great tool. It's called the 60-Day Employee Survey. You give it to them after they've been with the company 60 days. And I'll put a link to that in the description below so that you can have that. So next topic, number four, we need to build your business on the business you already have. So you have a customer base, and some of that base may have disappeared. If you had some regular customers, and you have a way of reaching them, maybe you have their address from billing or invoicing or things like that, maybe this is the time to bring them back into the fold. Let them know you're open again. If you've been closed, let them know that your hours are increased or whatever's going on in your business. But build your business on business that you've already cultivated with satisfied customers.
That's right. And in most businesses, what's fascinating is that, particularly in the food business, you know, if it's a sit-down, small private restaurant, you'll take notice that they always ask you, is everything all right? And can I get you anything? Very important questions. Most often, best answered if there's a negative with the manager, which you ask for when you go up front, you know, to pay your bill. It's really interesting because in the restaurant business, 90% of the restaurants that open closed within the first year. And this is one of the biggest reasons why, because they never really get an answer from people. And as Tom is stating in what you're reading, most people won't comment. They just won't return. And that's the biggest downside of the food business.
Yeah.
Which I've said before, again, you can make a lot of money in the food business running a restaurant, but you can lose far more than you can make.
Yeah,
and that's why you have a business plan and a marketing plan. And you put that together at the beginning so that you can follow your what you planned and seek that avenue of success. And that's why build your business on what you already have is so important, because that's how it will grow.
Yep. Yeah, you want to make it easy for customers to complain. If they have a complaint, you don't want them out on Main Street talking to other potential customers about what a lowlife business you run. you want them to be, that's why, as Shane pointing out from the restaurant business, after you've been served the food, after a period of time, the waitress or waiter will come back around and says, how's everything tasting, or how's everything with your meal? And that's just an easy way for the customer to say, well, it was kind of cold when I got it. Well, then you got an opportunity to turn that around, maybe give them another different meal, or redo it, or give them something for another trip, or whatever. Whatever is, you know, whatever works for the customer will work for you.
That's right. And mm-hmm. and again, you people will tell you what they think. People will tell you the truth. It's, yeah. People are very honest. People that spend money because it's a disposable income, as we've defined it. Right. You know, they're very conscientious about the product that they consume. And it's quite fascinating because there's only specific restaurants where you pay for what you eat after the meal. And those are the most difficult to build and create success. And that's why when people have something to say, you should listen, and you should adjust you know, the situation that you find yourself in immediately with regards to it. It's a little mm-hmm. bit more difficult if you're having a product or business that's online, because people tend to react just by staying online, looking at your products and purchasing or leaving.
Right.
And, yeah. And so a lot of what we're talking about today is about personal contact with people, which online isn't necessarily as personal as being, you know, in front of someone directly.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. If you're wondering why sometimes Shane takes a moment or two to answer, there's a delay. He's in Canada, so we have some electronic delays in there. So just don't think that he's sitting there going, oh, is somebody talking to me? Not working that way. All right. Let's see next. We've got to, we talked about this before, is setting goals for your business. You absolutely have to set a time limit and accountability for your goals. So in other words, if you're starting now, right now we're going into the end of the first quarter in March. So if you're going to make a goal for the second quarter of this year, then you'll set a time limit, obviously, of the second quarter, and whatever goal.
Well, I hope that we're doing all right here with Tom. He seems to have frozen up. I trust you can still hear me.
Yeah,
I can hear you. Oh, he's left.
It's our stupid internet here. It's our stupid internet.
Okay, you're back. That's great. Continue, yeah. Please.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that not only do you have to set the goals, but who's going to be accountable for each goal? So if you're going to set a goal for faster delivery, then the delivery people are maybe going to be responsible for that, or the warehouse people working with the delivery people to get the product on a truck and get it to wherever it needs to go, or something like that. So, you know, if it's selling more in the store, then the salespeople, we might set a goal for the salespeople to increase their production by 2% or 5% or something like that. Something measurable. It's got to be measurable. There needs to be a time limit on it, and somebody needs to be accountable.
That's right. And your business plan is so specific because of the suggestions we've talked about. It covers the most important aspect of your business and the capital requirements that you have, whether it's inventory or tools or the ability to provide you know, food and purchase it. So you have to follow your business plan and keep close eye on it, because you've already established the cash flow, the daily sales that you are required to make to stay open, your inventory costs. Not many people like Elon Musk have $1.5 billion to start a new car company. But if you've saved the money, then you're under less stress. But if you've borrowed some of the money, you're not. And this is one way to make life much easier and live to work by getting up in the morning and wanting to go to work, because things are moving in the direction you wanted it to. And that's all because you've prepared yourself what to expect. And in doing so, you hopefully know how to adapt to any problems that you're having with the amount of sales or lack of cash flow that you may have. always have to follow this. You always have to bear down on it. You always have to watch your costs. Small or large, the capital costs of running a business are really the first line of success for it. Because if it's minimized, if it's managed well, it'll give you more time. And time is of the essence, because the sales you don't make today, you'll never make up tomorrow.
Amen to that. All right. Number six, find ways to make sure you stay on track. And that's hard, because if you don't see sales increasing, you get discouraged. If your employees are unhappy, or, you know, you start getting customer complaints, then it's one more problem you have to deal with. So it's really tough to run a business, because every day there are challenges and things that happen that you virtually have little or no control over. So staying on track for, you know, the future is pretty tough, and particularly when you're kind of starting back from this pandemic, if your store has been closed, you know, when you do something every day, you get in a rhythm of doing things, but now you're going to have to recreate that rhythm all over again. And it may be a different rhythm than it was before. So it's going to be, you're going to be outside your comfort zone a little bit as you find your way back to work. And, you know, it's not easy to do that. So you're going to have to sit down and really, really apply yourself to yourself and your employees to make sure that you're, you know, managing your business more closely than you might have after you have experienced employees and all of those things.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was trained in doing, of course, is that when you cook, and it's just a personal thing in your kitchen, you should always clean as you go. If you're using several pots or pans to prepare a meal and you're finished with them, clean them before you sit down and have that meal. It's time management, saves you time later to do less cleanup after eating. We've talked about having different bank accounts. So you segregate your personal from your professional life, separate credit cards to keep, you know, separated from your personal and professional life, because of the benefits. Having your own business, you can write them off, and having the monthly account segregated so it's not, you know, a combination, which would be required for doing your business taxes, is an important thing. So yes, it's important that you look at and come to understand that the ways to make sure you keep things moving are creating the least amount of stress for you to work at your business, because believe me, you will find enough stress. You'll find enough to obsess about when you can't sleep at night. Running your own business, you don't have to compound it. Let's just reduce that, okay?
That's true. All right. Let's see, some final thoughts. Shane hit on a couple of them here. If you're a home-based business or a startup business, you've got to absolutely have a business checking account or a business credit card, as Shane alluded to, because otherwise the IRS is going to look at your business as a hobby. You're not going to be able to deduct, you're not going to be able to go through your personal checking account and deduct business expenses out of that. That's not going to work. So you either need to have a credit card that you only use for business so that you record business expenses for the IRS. You should have your own business phone number, which means you might have to carry two cell phones around, but hey, that's the cost of doing business. You've got to separate your business from your personal life as much as possible, because if you do get an audit, and sometimes you will, being a home-based business, they want to see if you really are one, and particularly if you're making money, they're going to look at you a little more closely than they would at other ideas. The other thing is, if you're using a bedroom or a spare room as your office, it can only be used for that. You know, it can't be the sewing room and your business. It's got to be dedicated to that in order for you to deduct a portion of your mortgage as your home business office. So just some FYIs there. Check with your accountant for sure. Don't take our word for this. It may vary from state to state or country to country. So make sure that you get good advice on taxes and business operation so that you aren't harassed by the IRS.
That's correct. And, you know, the great saying is, you know, success is measured by good choices result in good opportunities. And that's what we're trying to provide you with, is how to make those choices, how to make those decisions, and how prepared are you to overcome the difficulties of having your own business. So this is something you can learn on your own. Yep. You don't need to go out and have to experience and learn from it. You should find out about it so it doesn't happen.
There you are. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Hey, don't forget, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, and like us. Leave a comment if you like the what we were telling you or not. If you have differences of opinion with our advice, by all means, put that down there as well. We'd love to hear from you. And also, we're on Patreon. You can support the show and be recognized either with your name, your business name, or your website. We'll put that up on every single podcast. That's only $3 a month, $36 a year. I don't know where you're going to get that kind of advertising that cheaply. So by all means, check that out. That'll be in the description below, how to take advantage of that. And let's see, also, watch or listen to our past shows. They're all at CamMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast over there, and you'll find them all. And of course, our political show, our business and political shows, on every Saturday on radio, 8 to 11, virtually commercial free, very limited commercial interruption on that. And nothing you have to sign up for. All you have to do is go to CamMSAM.com. And click listen now. You can call us, you can text us, whatever. And also, don't forget TomandShane.com. TomandShane.com. We got more tips and articles and things over there. So watch that and comment on that as well. So say goodbye, Shane.
Be happy to be everyone. Be happy, be safe, live in the moment. Special moments, forever moments, you want to grasp, reach up, grab them. It's like star searching. And live to work. It's so important you come home happy to your family. They want to see you come through the front door happy. So everyone have a great day, and spring is on its way.
It is daylight savings time in a couple of weeks here, so we're getting into the springtime, so we're happy to have that. Hey, thanks everybody for watching and listening. We really appreciate your support and your following of the show, and we are here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, so mark your calendars for that. Sign up for the notification on YouTube, and we will see everybody on Thursday at 10 a.m. If I can get rid of the stuff that will get out of the way here. We'll see everybody then. Bye for now.